This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
We're back on the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and Danny. And you, potty people, you are what makes the show. Am I right? I mean, the fact that you listen and you, some of you have been listening since the birth.
Since
we were like sitting in a
hotel. John, how long has it been? 282 episodes, John says.
But are we going back to conception, John? Like to the conception of the Unshow?
No, remember the first episode in the hotel.
This is the first episode of the party.
Yeah. People, oh, we used to meet in a hotel. Like, you know how you can get a room? Not a room. You know how? Okay. Rewind. You know how you can get like a little office space or a conference room in a hotel? Lobby.
Yeah,
we would rent one out and we brought in microphone gear.
Because our offices were too noisy. Yeah.
Yeah.
5 years, 3 months.
Wow, yeah. We're old. No, we're not. No, we're young spring chickens.
But
our potty is seasoned.
I want to be seasoned.
Serene, our
potty
is well seasoned.
I myself are super young, but the potty, I'm ancient.
Yeah.
No, and you're right, Dan. The heroes of this potty are our listeners.
They're the listeners. And do you feel, listeners,
ancient. Listeners,
do you feel like we're talking with you? Because we feel that. I mean, yeah. I feel. Don't you feel that?
I feel like they're in the room.
I feel like we're like at a big party.
Yeah.
Or a
because I never get nervous when I come to the party ever. If I was talking to somebody, I always get nervous.
Mm. Talking with somebody.
But if you're talking with people, you never get nervous.
Absolutely.
I'm always very nervous.
No, you're not.
Until the intro's done, and then I'm fine.
Oh yes, because we rate the intro, and I was going to give that a 10.
Well, you're all looking
at me. 10+. I loved it, especially the breath at the beginning. That like you just the big inhale.
Right, so let's get on to some meat.
The meaty bits.
Teleprompter. Actually, it's just a good old-fashioned teleprompter. I got the notebook.
Did you bring a 3-point for us?
I got the notebook. It's a 1-point.
Yeah?
It's a 1-pointer.
Is this potty church or potty THM or a little mix or just to give a heads up?
Is it new age or like classic church?
It's totally new age because I'm a new creature.
Yeah, okay.
All things have passed away.
All right.
Wrong page.
Just for me. I'm trying to know, what am I going to learn here? Even though it's all
inclusive. What do you mean you're going to go to the end of the book before it begins?
Oh, no. Start at the very beginning.
Yes,
thank you.
Why don't you just summarize? No, I'm kidding.
Don't you hate when you go see a preview and it tells you the whole thing?
You know, when I'm sitting at the movies, if there's a preview of a movie I want to watch, my eyes are shut.
Really?
Yes, you too, Ben. My fingers are in my ears. I do not want to see one thing.
Oh, no, my fingers aren't in my ears. I do the, you know, where you just do it, your pulse.
Yes.
Do you do the pulse.
Do you and Ben think you're better than us?
Yes.
Okay.
No, we don't.
Because I felt an air of superiority. Yeah. Like people who prefer the book to the film. The book's much better.
But
no,
Danny,
it's not.
You don't do that. You watch the preview and let it just ruin it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
Yeah, it's part of the show.
Yeah, but you're a pool peer too, so I do look down on you.
A what? A pool peer?
I was listening to last week, a couple of weeks ago, potty, and you said that you warmed the pool for people.
Yeah.
And you said, how about that,
peer.
Samantha?
Who knows what?
You peed next to someone and you were like, how about that, Samantha?
That's so funny.
But I know that was, you were just rolling in the potty and I know it wasn't true, but it was just coming out of you.
I'm listening to this like I'm hearing it for the first time because it's true with ADHD.
Because Dad and I, we don't re-listen, do we?
No.
You never listen. I re-listen it and I was laughing so hard. I was just imagining Danny with his fro standing next to some woman in a pool he doesn't know.
And staring at her
and
while I do it.
Warming it, but he's not going to say it in his head. He's like, how about that, Samantha?
Yeah. Making eye contact while I do
it. Brilliant.
Okay,
I needed this love because I'm not nervous. I never get nervous, but I'm feeling weird because I'm on a matcha high. Oh. I had a strong matcha.
Yeah, you did.
And it's just like, it's not knowing what to do with it.
Hey, next week, tune in because Serena and I are going to tell you what matcha we use. It's incredible.
Oh, nice.
Next week is at FAQ.
Oh, totes amazing. I'm actually going to ruin the whole thing and start with the title that's going to explain it all.
Okay.
Well, it won't explain it all, but it'll give you a hint. I just want to say, you have never been so strong. That's what I want to say.
I need to hear this.
That's the title.
Wow.
And I want to speak to those in the midst of a trial, in the literal throes of a hardship. If you are in the literal throes, like being... the wave upon wave upon wave of the trial has been rolling over you. I want to speak to you and I want to tell you, you've never, ever been so strong. And I have a message for you. I want you to get it. I want you to get the words. I want you to understand it till every cell in your body believes that you've never been so strong. Because I'm telling you, you've never been so strong. And I got this whole concept because I just had a new grandbaby.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, a week ago.
Isaiah Nettie's baby, right?
What's the baby's name?
Yes, yes. His name is Solomon, and he's just the cutest.
Solly.
Actually, looks a bit like you, Dan.
Really?
Yeah, he's half Italian, half African.
What?
So he's awesome. Yes.
There is no way he couldn't have a fro.
Let me see this.
My daughter-in-law is just a gorgeous Italian. And then, of course, my son is from Liberia. And I tell you what, this guy looks like, there's no baby to him. He actually looks like the speedboat driver / model that was hired by the Bourne Identity movies to do the stunts up and down the Morocco coast. That's what he looks like.
Come on, Isaiah.
He was born with product in his hair, like the perfect little soft coils, you know?
Oh, the coils.
You're talking about Isaiah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Isaiah's son. Oh, Isaiah's awesome looking too, but I'm talking about Isaiah
got married,
to an Italian woman.
To an Italian girl.
I'm sure they already have a baby.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all on the up and up, too.
You were doing the Hollywood stuff at the time.
Oh, God.
They sent Facebook invites out.
Are you serious? Yeah. I didn't.
You were invited. You've been invited to all my children's weddings. You haven't showed up, bar one, except for one.
No, I left. I ghosted Facebook.
And I do a little bit of a notch next to your name every time.
I ghosted Facebook. If you guys are doing all this with Facebook, I'm not getting it.
No one sends invites in the mail anymore. Keep going, Serene.
I just expect you to know in the spirit.
I feel like this rabbit trail's gone 10% too long.
But I'm talking to you out there. If you are feeling wearied under a load physically or even spiritually or emotionally, and I want to let you know that you've never been so strong, and I'll tell you why. I was at the birth, and it was an intense birth. My daughter-in-law, Addie, she was a trooper, like a Navy SEAL. And when I got there, she was 3 centimeters dilated, but the pain and intensity was like right there in transition, which is like 8 to 10, you know, the last little bit that's so intense for anyone in a natural labor. But she had that from the beginning. There was no break between contractions, and each contraction had a double peak. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I've had them, trust me. I've had double peaks.
Yeah, I'm like, can we time this thing? I was telling the midwife, she goes, there's no use, they're just double peaking. And there was no break. She was literally shaking. Her legs were shaking. And she was throwing up from the intensity of the pain. Home birth, by the way. There was no danger to this whole thing. I mean, the baby's heartbeat was great. Everything was fine. But just the intensity of the pain. And I looked at her and I had this incredible revelation. I was like, oh my goodness. And we were trying to encourage her, saying different things. But this line came to me. I just kept on saying it over to her. I said, Addie, you've never been so strong. You've never been so strong. And she felt so weak. Like she felt so weak. And she was like literally, like I said, shaking. Her muscles just felt like that. She just wanted to fall into a pool of jello, you know. But she had to dig in and she had to keep going because there was no other choice, right? And I kept saying to her, Addie, you've never been so strong. And I just look back and I almost feel like crying because it was such a revelation of people who are in the depths of something that makes them feel so weak. But literally, they have never been so strong. I mean, I'm saying it over and over again, but it's just the point I want to bring home. Because you don't need to even flex your physical or spiritual strength in times of ease.
Yeah.
Maybe in rest seasons, we may even lose some of our fighting edge. And when we're under load, that's when we gain strength. When we are bearing up under something and don't give up, that's when our strength is tested. It's tried, it's refined, it's built. Especially if you've been in the season for a long while and have been load bearing for any good real length of time, you are building your muscles of flesh or spirit. And they're flexing and they're growing under pressure. And you've never looked so jolly strong.
Oh, I love it. I need it.
And so I want to talk to you out there too right now, those who have been in it for a long time. And I want to say, you've not thrown in the towel. Because if you're listening here today and you're still standing, You haven't thrown in the towel. You're amazing. You're so strong. You've had to dig deep to stay load-bearing. You've had to get rid of any treacherous negativity that could jeopardize your ability to bear. You've had to put roots down into truth, into bedrock paradigms of life and light. You've had to seek a source of strength that never runs out and floods you fresh over and over again with newness and resilience. And I'm going to get Dan and Pearl to just jump in here a second, but I'm just reading a couple of my notes I wrote
about
it.
It's too good, I want to hear it.
When I came back from the birth, I just kind of like wrote this out and I thought, hey, maybe I'll just share this. The load bearing has thrust you into the secret, the mystery of resting under pressure. I know it sounds impossible, but fantastically true. We can sleep in a storm, just like Jesus made example to us. He could sleep in a storm. We can be strong when the world says we should be weak. We can have peace when it passes all understanding and be refreshed when the days of trial are adding up and dragging on and on and on. True strength comes from weight bearing, from resistance training. It can come from standing up under a load when it's our responsibility. And it also comes from throwing off and resisting a negative load that we're not supposed to carry. So we can get resistance training. So we do the holding stuff that we're meant to in life, because there's some things we just were meant to walk through. It's our responsibility to bear under. But there's other junk that we're not meant to bear at all. And we're meant to just be like a shot put Olympian. You know, those guys that just like hurl the big chunks of iron and throw it as far off them as possible. And this is how we strength train to get resilience. And, you know, it's that cross training, you know, in the sports world, they say that gives you the muscle hypertrophy when you take the muscles and you know, do something radically different. So we load bear the things we're meant to and we chuck off the weights that we're not meant to carry. So it's this cross training that gives us the best benefits. Because if somebody like, okay, you know, I've got to bear this load, this hard season, and I'm just gonna be a little negative because I need to be in touch with how bad my life is right now, you know, and just maybe seeing the glass half empty instead of seeing it half full. Those are the loads that we're meant to like, the negativity, anything that is of darkness and of depression, disappointment, anything of the emotions that are pulling us down, that's the stuff we shot put off of us. But you know, sometimes like Addie in the labor, that was a load, that was her honor to bear, you know, and many other things that we go through in life. Sometimes, you know, parenting is tough, getting up all night with maybe a child who's throwing up and everything. But you know, we can't just put earplugs in our ears and go to sleep.
Special needs parenting. Some people, especially, that's every
night.
Too.
That's been for decades. Mm-hmm. They're up every night turning a child who can't turn so they don't get bed sores, things like that. That's our responsibility that we have an honor to bear. So there's the weight we bear and then the weight we throw off. And I love that thought. But back to the beginning. You might be thinking that you never felt or looked so weak because of your load you're bearing, because your knees are shaking like Addie's were, because you're fighting against them buckling. And I'm speaking in the natural and I'm also speaking the spiritual. But today I'm here to tell you, and I'm saying it again, I'm saying it over and over and over again.
Do it.
Till you get it, that you've never been so strong. Now, I weightlift for a hobby, you know, because I love to, and also because I want to contend for muscle as I'm become gifted with years. I refuse to say as I age, as I become gifted in years. And I want to say, like, say if you saw me in the PM post-workout, right? And I've got the shower done. I've showered off all the sweat and I'm in my Hello Kitty, like, soft little jammies. And I'm cuddling on the couch with my children, with my boofy, you know, with my boofy comforter. And I've got something scrumptious, you know, because it's the end of the day. I'm going to treat myself. Maybe I've like heated up a piece of Pearl's BAM cake. I've got a hot chocolate or something like that. And I just look all droopy because I'm just like, you know, relaxing. So, I mean, would you have this flash thing like, wow, Serene, you look so strong? No, you wouldn't think anything. You'd be thinking, what a life of ease she has, you know. But if you saw me in the AM and you came into my weight room And I've got my hair slicked back so tight because even one little tiny tendril touching my face would lose my zone.
Oh my gosh.
Like, because I'm that concentrating.
Shave my head.
If you saw the sweat like dripping down the shoulders, if you saw me in my 10th rep, you know, of a deadlift, and like I'm holding it in that position at the top of the move, you know, and like my knees are just literally shaking. All I want to just do is just drop the weight and give up, but I'm holding form. I'm holding strong. And I've got my green drink on the side. You see the whole situation. I've got like a loud chorus blaring, a chant, kind
nursing
of like a praise song, like
babies.
Singing life, light, everything.
You said nursing three babies.
Yes. You might think, hey, mate, you look strong, right? But I never felt so weak at the time. I never felt so pressured, never felt so much like giving up. But that's when you'd look and say, girl, you're strong.
That's what makes you strong.
That's what makes
me
strong.
Then when you're sitting there on the couch, all hunched over like you got no core, you are strong.
That's right. Because in times of ease.
Even though you don't look it.
Yeah, but in times of ease, we don't get to use that.
Yeah.
We don't get to step into the glory of it.
No,
you know?
We don't.
I mean, what about good old Clark Kent? When he was in his little business suit in that little newspaper office, he looked like a nerd. It wasn't until he got out and was holding one car in one hand and all the others that you're like, whoa, Superman. So
that's so funny,
you know. And then you got the Navy SEALs when they're in their incredible rescues, you know, and they're dropping into freezing ice waters, and you know, they're pulling a helicopter out of the water, and a guy on the other hand, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to imagine. That's when you watch the movies and say, "Oh my goodness, look how strong they are."
Yeah.
So you may be feeling weak right now. You may be feeling like the world's looking on and thinking, oh, you're such a failure, or, you know, because you're feeling weak, because you're feeling like you've been in this a long time. I want to come with a word of refreshing and say, just imagining anyone who's in that situation, I want to say, you've never looked so strong, girl. Girl. What do you say that when you want to be a girl?
I don't know.
Or guy, or Danny's guys. You've never looked so strong. You've never been so strong because you've had to dig in and you're powerful. And I just wanted to let you know. And I want to give one scripture before I hand it over to them. I love it. I don't even know the like reference, because it's just something I say all the time. Let the weak say I'm strong. So I was a good girl and looked up the reference. It's 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, my grace, which you know what grace is, right? God's enabling power that enables us to be who he sees we are, literally are. But so the grace, it's a lot of people just see it as like a little like, oh, to cover sin. But that's mercy, right? But grace, his enabling power, is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. And that doesn't mean, oh, my life is bad and all that, because it's not about that. It's to bring to the main point here so that Christ's power, that's the main point, will rest on me. And it's that, it's, you know how it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when we boast in our weakness, that's just being in a position of like, without this extra strength, without this strength from God, I can't do this. So it's not saying, oh, my life is miserable. When we boast in weakness, it's saying, it's not me here. It's Christ's power who's going to rest on me. And I'm telling you what, it's going to be made perfect in my weakness. Anyway, so that Christ's power may rest on me, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults. It's interesting what it says for weakness here, because you think, oh, in weakness, it would just be all maybe our sicknesses and everything. But it actually says in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Well, it's very timely for me, Serene, because I wasn't going to share this personal thing. But, you know, I'm so glad you brought this. I feel like a new way to look at what I'm going through is so blessed, you know, because I tend to think of strong as not facing any adversities. Like, oh, I've done it. I've gone and done it. I'm at this place where I'm not facing anything that's hard anymore. I've gone and became strong. Look at me.
Yeah, it's a strong week this
week.
Yeah,
I'm just through all that. Yeah, you know, I got through that and I got through that. And look at me. I'm kind of invincible. I made it. You know, and I have I've gotten through many things, you know, with Christ's strength. And as I dug into his word and found the truths and persuaded my heart in the truth, that was what brought me through many things, like things that we were supposed to be incurable, like Graves' disease, and things that I walked out of just hanging on to his truth. So then in the last year, I've been feeling so fantastic and just feeling strong, like, oh man, I've made it. I'm on bioidentical hormones, and every day I wake up and I feel like I'm Superwoman, except for this thing that has... it's my right ear, this fullness and buzzing, and it was just, it would come on and off, on and off and on and off, and I couldn't really hear through it, and then I'd start to get giddy.
You'd call it a non-virus, because apparently it's a virus.
Yeah, no, it's a non-virus.
She calls it a non-virus.
Yeah, a non-virus. But then I had a couple of incidents of where it's just like laid flat, like total, I couldn't stand up. The world was just turning around, like the whole room.
Because your ear's in charge of the circling. Equilibrium. So, yeah.
I couldn't stand. Thought, that's weird. You know, I just don't know. Started researching, and I had every symptom of Meniere's disease. And you don't want that. That's something they say you cannot walk out of. It's like Graves. You got it for life, you know. But every single symptom. But, you know, I'm telling you, though, I don't necessarily have that. I have every symptom. Yesterday, this is why this is so timely for me. I got this loud buzzing in my ear. Charlie had to help me make it to the bed. It was that quick. And then it was 4 hours of just throwing up, the room circling. It felt like gravity was pushing me through the floor. It was violent. I can't even explain it. And, you know, and then I looked it up. It was like, absolutely, Meniere's. Okay, so there's no cure. You just maybe take some medication. I believe there's a cure, because I believe I'm going to walk out of things. I mean, that's just, you know, Christ in me, the hope of glory. But you know what I thought to myself, Serene? I was shameful. I'm supposed to be Pearl. I'm supposed to be strong. I've come so far. Look, I walked out of that. Look at me. You know, you're supposed to be this example for all these women. And here you are lying flat on your back for 4 hours. How weak. You don't even deserve to have a podcast. You're weak. You know, but this is only going to make me stronger.
Oh, yes.
And showing, and just, this is so huge for me today, because when I am weak, he makes me strong. And you know what? I was never so strong.
Yes.
As yesterday, enduring
yes.
that.
Yes, you were and never
I'm,
so
and,
strong.
And all the things I'm going to learn through this as I walk out of it. Yeah. I'm sure, I know some people probably have heard of this thing and that you've had it. Or you've enjoyed it, you know someone who's endured it. But you know, and now my mission is to figure my way out of it. But man, I'm strong.
Look at you today. You came in the brightest shirt I've ever seen you wear
in
the past decade. It's like fire engine red, and you're like so buzzing with energy. And I remember calling you like about five. I called and texted, and I didn't get any because she was still probably vomiting her head off, right? But when I finally got through to you, you were like Mrs. Positive. You're like, Serene, I'm not going to fear it. Serene, I'm not going to fear it. I'm going to walk out of this. No worries. And I thought those thoughts.
Well, I don't want to bury my head in the sand. I'm going to be having an action plan for things. And I'm going to be using all that God has equipped this world with, whether it be herbs, medicine, different things. I'm going to find it all out.
Well, that's being strong too.
Yes, that's being strong. But there ain't no fear, because I refuse to fear this thing. Mm-hmm. I refuse that. That's one thing I'm not going to do.
I called Pearl this morning, and because I was in my Bible reading, I was just reading this one particular verse, and it hit me so strongly. And then I'll pass it over to you back to Pearl and to Dan. But it's so interesting, because a lot of times, you know, we think that, well, the Bible says we actually fear itself.
Yes,
you know, it says that the people, you know, who didn't know Jesus, sometimes they're running from something, and there's nothing even there that they're running from, you know, because fear is, it's a spirit of fear, and sometimes there's nothing there. But it's so interesting. I was reading about Sarah, and it says, and we are Sarah's daughters if we do good. And this is what it said, what is good. If we do not fear anything that is frightening. And it hit me. I'm not even meant to fear the things I should be fearing.
Yeah.
So I called Pearl and I said, I know you're amazing, and I know you had such an incredible attitude and you're so strong, but I want to say you've got this awesome command to not fear anything that's frightening. And that's a load off your back, isn't it?
It is a load, because I thought I had to fear it because it was that violent. I thought, well, now, Pearl, you're up to something that you might as well, it's respectful enough to fear that. But then I had to persuade my heart into the truth that that's nothing.
I don't think the world is going to ever offer us less opportunities for fear.
Yeah.
But rather we would be more brave.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a huge difference than waiting on suffering to end or waiting on problems to stop happening in your body or in your kids or in your families or whatever. All of that waiting for suffering to end is silliness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it causes a lot of stress too, you know, because you're shocked and surprised when the new problem or suffering happens, when in fact the it's a call to more bravery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we have to fight dragons on this planet, yeah, baby boys and girls. There's just nasty little nasty little fire breathers that, you know, that come into our life. And, you know, I heard, you guys know who Jordan Peterson is?
Heard the name.
Oh, Jordan Peterson. He's like my internet dad.
Yeah.
Like,
we all need,
he's a psychiatrist.
I'm like hearing Toy Story. He's spending time with my dad.
Yeah. He's a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I don't know. Who knows? I don't even know what the difference is. Philosopher, teacher, just recently sort of started getting more known for talking about the Bible. And he's not a, I still don't know if he's a Christian guy or not. I don't know if anybody
knows. He just detects the wisdom in it.
Or if it matters. Yeah. I mean, well, I've always said to people, like, man, just religion aside, we have an ancient book that deserves the highest place in history. Mm-hmm. There's other books. I mean, these treasures from the old world, like if you're not even believing it as something applicable, you know, spiritually for you, like, but you've never read, like, you haven't picked up the Bible. Like, are you kidding?
So true. Yeah.
It's a historic, like, welcome to Earth, dude. Here's a Bible. Like, open that thing. So he sort of said something that really popped open some neurons for me, talking about suffering and how it's quite real. It, especially mental suffering, it's not real. It's very real. And it's for many people, the most real thing on this planet. Something that they can say, this is for sure not fake. This is present. I feel this. And this is what I know is reality, this suffering. And he said, well, how much more the bravery and the hope that comes after that? He goes, then that somehow must be more real. Because if you can break through suffering, if you can overcome.
Great.
Yeah. And to me, I just like shot out of my body, mentally speaking, and was in eternity. And I thought about what many would consider the greatest suffering or the greatest tragedy, the death of our body.
Yeah.
Well, if we see this pattern throughout our life of great suffering followed by great overcoming and bravery required to persevere, would it not be in preparation for the final letting go where we can't even cling? I mean, Serene has had to let go of her hopes and dreams for what mother wants their child to face the gravest of diseases multiple times, let alone, and I know what that's like to have a child in the hospital, the ER for longer than a week and to just, I mean, I've been in hospital bathrooms on my face in a puddle of tears as a grown man, just like, why is this happening to my family? And when I was a young dad, you know, these things were strange. I thought them strange, you know, and that I was somehow out of alignment with things or that my life wasn't on the right track and my kids are paying the price. And all of these sufferings, though, leading up to the final letting go of your fake hopes and dreams that you shouldn't have had in the first place, that you're going to be in a body on a planet forever and ever and ever, you know, you're going to let go of that. That's coming. You can put flowers on that coffin, but down will your body go. There is an appointment for all of us. And I can't help but believe that the greatest of all losses, quote unquote, only proves that there is yet another hope and eternal thing coming afterwards. Mm. And so,
yeah, the biggest gain. And when you look at it like that, you know, so much of our journey is the shadow of, you know, the shadows of, shadow means a type. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
it just shows it in a, like marriage is a type of Christ in us, our unity, you know, mm-hmm. But it's a real thing too.
Yeah.
But it just shows it's an example of the ultimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this idea of rejoicing in suffering is really bizarre on first glance.
Right.
It's just like, please stop the madness.
I know.
Right? Like rejoice in suffering. But could we get to a place where that next wave hits? Because it's coming. You might be in the little trough. Is it a trough or a trough or a trowel? not the crest of the wave, right? The lower part?
Yeah.
You know, and things feel peaceful. Mm-hmm. But baby boys and girls, I mean, if we go on even a couple more years.
Yeah, there are trials. They're just going to come. Even the Bible says they will come. We don't have to be afeared of them. Yeah. Just we live in this life, right? Yeah. And so I don't think we have to. I feel like we can. I do feel like we can live positive lives and positive things happen. But we're still going to have trials. Life still throws us sideways. But now I'm looking at it, and I was kind of persuading my heart on my own. But then when Serene, when you brought this, it is when we stand under a load, when we go through something else, it is an opportunity to grow and to strengthen. Yeah. And if we look at it like that, yes, we can rejoice. Yes, we can say, I've never been this strong.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's our lens again, isn't it?
Yes, because the strength isn't the absence of, and I mean, this maybe this is wrong, but as I see it, strength for me has not been the absence of weakness. Or the absence of fear, or the absence of suffering. It has been the bravery to keep walking forward.
Yeah,
so true. It's not the absence. And let me bring this round to THM. Yeah. Not that we have to, because I feel like it's trite.
I'm going
to
say one more thing just before you go to the THM. You know, we were talking about, can we, like, would it be possible? You're like, stop the madness. Would it be possible, you know, to go through the next trial and, you're like, joy in the suffering? But I love that key that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, that's just a principle. That it's the joy that we have going through that will actually be our strength.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I was thinking about my episode yesterday this morning, and I felt like a bunch of dismal thoughts come, like, why do you even have this? You know, what do you do? Where'd you pick up this thing? And it's not really fair, is it? And all those things that come into your head, you know, why? You do everything right. Why?
I've been eating right.
Yeah.
Didn't carb load.
Fantastic. You know, I feel good. I'm in great shape. Why? Why? What'd you do wrong, you know? But I just thought to myself, I can choose to think those thoughts, or I can choose the other, which is to be thankful and to praise. I just made myself sing. I didn't even feel like it. Made myself sing, you know, whatever song came into my head. And you know what? It was such a great choice, because I soon forgot about all the dismal thoughts. You got to replace them with something else. And you got to put your body in that no, 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 no. Come on, rejoice. Come on. David did to himself. Come on, soul. Come on, rejoice. Come on, get there. And, you know, and that's why I put on my red shirt today, because the thing happened, and it's kind of, I can feel that fullness in my ear now, but you know what? I'm going to praise my way through this.
Yeah. So
gonna
good, praise girl.
It. I put on my red shirt today.
I'm going to put on my red shirt.
It's quite Asian.
Yeah.
You're like,
am I allowed to do the THM thing? You know, or did you still?
No, I want you to do THM thing. But I just wanted to just to say, you know, I got this idea, you know, at the birth of Addie and Isaiah's son. Amazing. But I remember you coming home from your eldest child's
Meadows,
the first birth that you ever been to of your of your children, Meadows.
But, yes.
And she was always the princess of your family, right? Mm-hmm. Always just, you know, even when she would do any kind of exercise, she would sit down afterwards for half an hour and just have to stare at the wall just to decompress because it was just so unlike her very ladylike poise to do anything that would make her sweat.
Yeah.
But I remember you coming home from that birth and saying, Serene, Meadow is so strong.
She's a warrior.
I did not know that she was such a warrior. I did not know. Like, so when we see others going through these trials, these times of tough, you know, tough trial, we can see it so clearly. Oh my goodness, look at their grit, look at their strength. And that's when we get this admiration almost for them. So we have to start seeing that in ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Srini, I'm so glad you brought this today. It was like God brought it for me. I don't know about anyone else. It was for me.
In your sickness, what do you not have? Menin?
I don't have meniers.
Meniers, exactly.
So anyway, I was thinking, a lot of people, and shame. Remember how I said I felt shame for this? Mm-hmm. a lot of you guys have shame when you feel weak in your health journey.
So true.
When you are so tempted by the thing that's going to undo you, by the sugar, by the things that in the past you used, but that undid your health. And now you find yourself craving them again, or you find yourself reverting back to them, or being tempted to do it. And you think, I'm shameful, not even worth to do this. I might as well go back to this. Why would I even have, you know, this strong desire to go back to that when I know it's not right for me? And all those thoughts, you know, the stronger we get at fighting against them, like I was this morning, you know, using singing and worship to fight against the dismal thoughts. As we fight against them, we're strong. But if we never had them, we wouldn't need to be strong.
Right.
So when you're at your weakest,
yes,
I want you to know you're at the strongest, because that's building something inside you to become this new creature, you, that will one day, like Danny said, have overcome this. It doesn't take, you know, one day. It takes a journey. And each day you can become strong. Each day there'll be, you know, sometimes there'll be failures, but you learn from them too. And that's the cool thing.
I love that, Pearl. And just keeping in the flow of the THM practical thing, you know, you might be just at the beginning of your health journey, and it you know, it's difficult to say no to a hamburger and say yes to a salad.
Yes.
You know, but even though you feel that struggle, it doesn't mean you're not strong. If you grit in and say, hey, I'm going to make that wise choice, you're super strong, even though the temptation's there, even though you have that, like that pull to weakness, you know, you're even more strong. I don't feel like I'm strong at all to say yes to a salad because it's like my favorite food, right?
Yeah, right.
You're the strong one.
You're the strong one.
And I want to say, I just saw this recently, actually last night. My sons were working out in the weight room, and you know, my one son, you know, never been sick the day of his life. He's, you know, 20 and, you know, in peak performance, and he was doing these dips. I don't know what they are, like dips.
A bench.
Well, you're called dips.
Yeah. And they were like, he was like dipping like 10s, 20s, so like just going into the hundreds of just. And then my other son, Arden, who's just doing so amazing, but he's just come through stem cell transplant, you know, and he went to do the dips, and he's bigger anyway and taller. Yeah. So that's more weight. But, you know, he did his amount. And I looked at him, and that's the one I thought was strong. I'm like, after all you've gone through, your 20 dips.
Aww.
I felt like, what a Navy SEAL now I'm so proud of my other son, but to his 200 dips.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, I know what you've been through.
Yeah.
And I know how that you're, you know, just building your strength back. And I know when your muscles were shaking like that, that you put more effort into it, and the more effort you put into it, the more strong you are.
Oh, so true. And it's like the woman's mite, you know, the parable of the Bible.
Yes.
She gave that one little coin and it would look like nothing.
Yeah.
But it was everything.
Yeah.
Because it was all she had.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I'm a crier today, Serene. That story about Arden made me cry. I've just been watching Arden, you know, update on Serene's son. He's been fighting and doing well against stage 4 cancer for many years now.
Well, he's cancer free.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes. So he went through this final stem cell where they wiped him out. I mean, he's had to be 3 months without seeing anybody just because his whole immune system was completely gone. So if you're in contact with anybody, you know, it could kill you. So there he is. Wow. Is it been 3 months yet, Serene?
He's
but
almost
he's building his body
yeah,
back.
Building
I mean,
it back.
You know, when you go through this, you can barely walk.
Guy. Yeah.
And now I'm seeing him with his shaved head and his hair's growing back. And he's just, I love his smile. I mean,
you know, that's what Arden and Esther.
His smile just radiates strength.
Arden and Esther have said to me so many times, they got married when they were 18.
Yeah.
Like just children, you know? But they are old souls. I think of them as like 72 and 73.
Yeah, they've gone through so much.
And they always say, they're like, I don't know, Mom. I don't know what's wrong with us. Because we kind of feel like we get along with the old folk. You know, they've just got such deep wells because they had to go through weight bearing. Yes.
Weight.
Spiritual,
yeah.
Emotional weight bearing.
Yes.
And it's produced such incredible fruit of strength.
And your tolerance for young thought begins to lower.
Yeah.
And so when you hear the young thought around you and the faux problems that come with that, with the little menial frustrations and, you know, you just start to sort, you know, you don't hate the kids or anything, but you just sort of start to go, this is uninteresting.
Yeah,
and
well,
not
you've been fighting
and,
for your life, you know, and when you see what matters.
Yeah.
I mean, you quickly see what matters.
Well, you
want to
go
and
spend time
nonsense.
With an old man who's been there. You know, like my doctor, he's an older dude, ex Green Beret.
Oh, yeah.
I love going in there once a year for my invented sickness and him go, dude, stop. Get out. You're fine.
Yeah.
I'm not even checking your blood. Yeah. Not even checking your blood. Yeah. I'm looking at you and you're out. You're out of here.
So
see you
good.
Next year.
I love that. You know, and I want to say, you know, we've been talking about a little bit about physical stuff too and physical trials, you know, spiritual trials too. But if you're listening and you have had a spirit of heaviness or it's just some chemical thing in your mind where you wake up and you have this onslaught of oppressive thoughts that you have to deal with, but you choose and wake up every day to renew your mind and you choose throughout the day to choose positivity, even though there is hardship to do so. And I believe as you keep walking in this, you know, your mind will be renewed and I believe you'll get the victory. But I want to say to you, if you're feeling weak because you're in the battle of it and you're constantly having to push out those dark thoughts, I want to say you are strong. You are more mentally strong than the people that have never had to deal with that. You know,
true.
You are more strong than the people that all they think about is lollipops in Florida. I wanted to speak to you and say,
Florida,
you are mentally strong because you're a fighter and you're not giving up and there will be fruit to your fight.
Sreen.
Good. Come on.
How do you say this on like your baby has walked through the gravest of diagnoses and you as a mother have, and I never hear about it. All I hear is this. How is that possible?
Well, I just think it was like Addie at the birth, right? And Pearl watching Meadow at the birth. You know, she had to bring her child forth, right? And they had to just keep going. There was no turning back. You can't like push the baby back inside of you and say, forget this idea. You have to keep going. You can't give up.
Never mind.
You have to bring to birth, right?
Yeah.
Well, I felt like that with the whole thing with Arden. It's like, I can't not go through this with him. Like, I can't just like zone out and just like check out. There's no choice but to walk the road alongside of him. And negativity walking alongside is not helping him. It's not helping me. So it was like, I told Pearl, there's never was a plan B. Like there was only a plan A.
Yeah.
Faith, positivity, life. I couldn't walk plan B because it wasn't fruit for him and it wasn't fruit for me.
So was new bravery required?
Yes. Yes. Of course there was, you know, when I was speaking to the people, you know, before mentally, you know, I think I was a little bit in there too, because, you know, there, especially in the beginning of a journey, you're constantly fighting. You know, you're constantly the dark thoughts of it will come, but I just would never nest it or never allow it to nest. So there's that constant fight. And almost you can think you're going crazy in the head because all day long, while other people have just been, you know, putting a recipe out on Pinterest or whatever, you've just been in the trenches slaying oppression in your brain, right? But there's incredible fruit. And I look back at times like that and think, boy, I was really strong, but not me. It wasn't me. It was Christ in me. But like, so as we look on, I look back or I look at other people, you can see the strength. And I just wanted to tell personally to people that they can start to see that in themselves and start to honor that in themselves.
Honor that is so good, Sreen. I want to end with that. I don't want it to be lost.
Yeah.
I want people and me to start honoring the strength that we are walking in daily.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.